From the KERA Newsroom, I'm Justin Martin. In a few minutes, Rick Perry and Ted Cruz talk about everything but their presidential ambitions today in Fort Worth. First, to the statewide school ratings released today. The news was bad and good for North Texas schools. In Dallas, more schools need improvement than last year. And Duncanville, the only local district to need improvement last year, made the cut this time. KERA's Bill Zeebel combs through the Texas Education Agency's ratings.
Every North Texas school district met the state-required standard in 2014. Duncanville ISD improved, even though nearly a third of its campuses failed to measure up. A year ago, 34 Dallas schools rated improvement required under the new system. This year, that number rose to 43.
We have provisions that they'll have to follow, perhaps implement a new campus improvement plan.
Deetta Culbertson's a spokesperson for the Texas Education Agency.
Perhaps look at restaffing. It will just have to be determined by that individual campus of what needs to be done so that they can meet those standards and they can rise above that improvement required.
The problem is, what DISD has tried so far mostly hasn't worked. Many of last year's low-performing schools made the list again. There was good news, though. 15 Dallas schools earned the highest rating, including three magnet schools in Townview Center, Booker T. Washington's Arts Magnet, and Stone Elementary in Vickery Meadow. In Fort Worth ISD, the number of schools needing improvement dropped from 28 last year to 24. The only Fort Worth school to earn the highest rating, six distinctions, was the Young Women's Leadership Academy. Across Texas, the TEA's Culbertson says only 26 school districts earned the highest mark for graduating students career and college ready.
It's an indicator that shows students at that campus or in that district are at a level where they can function with success in college, the workforce, job training programs, or the military.
In North Texas, Richardson ISD was among those 26. Superintendent Kay Wagoner says the district worked hard for the honor.
We start talking early about career and college readiness, about building that dream that that all of them can go to school. This past year, we participated with a National Math and Science Initiative to train all of our math and science teachers in AP strategies.
Wagoner says Richardson's concentrated on career and college preparation for the last 4 years, and the TEA says it's paid off. Bill Zeebel, KERA News.
Urban planner Patrick Kennedy has an unusual way to take on traffic in North Texas. He wants to tear down highways, or at least one stretch of I-3-45 in downtown Dallas. He sat down with Vice President of News Rick Holter for this week's Friday Conversation.
Patrick Kennedy, welcome to the Friday Conversation.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
You've been working on this idea for years. This week, you wrote a piece in the British newspaper, The Guardian, about Dallas. It's a pretty unusual idea, kind of a reverse field of dreams. If you tear it down, they will come. Can you explain how that would work?
That's very true. It's all about the relationship between transportation and real estate, really, and how land uses arrange around transportation. And the bigger and faster the roads that we build, the more people spread out. And so that tends to undermine density and walkability and whether transit can work efficiently. It really gets down to the idea of convenience. And in the outerlying parts of the city, convenience is all about if there are any cars on the road, is there free parking, is the parking, you know, available? Whereas in the city, if you want a thriving urban area, the convenience is totally different. It's about proximity. It's about being able to walk to places. It's about things being close to each other. And that's what really drives value in cities.
I want to play a piece of tape now. It's of you a couple months back speaking at the quote-unquote funeral for the Trinity Toll Road. Let's listen.
Though our work here is not entirely done, let this be the first of many victories for the people.
Amen!
Woo! And let the people be empowered, which will then empower the politicians, to stand up for us. And let the next one be 345.
Yes!
Kind of a revival service there. do you see any signs of political support for this idea?
Absolutely. It's actually been quite stunning. You know, we're not naive. We knew that this was going to be a very difficult but we felt it was worth having the conversation, and that was the very first point of this. And that tape was originally about the Trinity Toll Road,
right.
And the talk about 345 has been influential in starting to change minds about whether we really need highways through cities. And if you look at all the other cities that people love to visit around the country and around the world, they're not dominated by freeways in the core. The transportation is something different.
Your idea with I-345 is to take traffic off the highway and onto a boulevard through that part of town. Mm-hmm. That's almost 200,000 vehicles a day and a lot of 18-wheelers. Where do those go?
Well, from what we understand, only about 10% of the traffic is sort of long-haul freight, and that is a significant amount. But that's the kind of traffic that should be going around the city if it's not coming to the city.
Now, some of the criticism of your ideas has taken on kind of a racial tone. It's essentially saying that this is a group of white intellectuals making it harder for African Americans and Latinos in South Dallas to get to work. How do you respond to that?
I think that's sort of a lazy and reflective response that happens to be sort of embedded in Dallas politics. But ultimately, what we're talking about is bringing jobs closer to South Dallas and steering investment around from the north side around to downtown. Again, so the jobs aren't continually spilling further and further and further away from South Dallas, but actually bringing them back to the city.
Patrick Kennedy, thanks for taking the time.
Thanks for having me.
Fort Worth saw some presidential muscle flexing today. Ted Cruz and Rick Perry both spoke at the annual meeting sponsored by the conservative website Red State. KERA's Lauren Silverman takes a look at the campaign that both Texans are dancing around.
It's the presidential race no one is talking about. Two Texas political stars, both testing the waters for a run in 2016, without mentioning it, of course. It was 3 years ago at Red State's South Carolina get-together that Rick Perry announced his 2012 presidential bid. Today, there was no announcement, but the governor sounded like he was giving a campaign speech.
Since I became governor, Texas has created 35% of all the private sector new jobs in this country. That's a powerful, powerful visual.
After touching on job creation, slamming Obama on the Keystone Pipeline and Obamacare, he went on for the issue that's relaunched his presidential plans, immigration.
If Washington won't act to secure the border as the governor of Texas, I will.
Perry's tough stance on immigrant children and criticism of the Obama administration has helped him regain popularity with conservative voters. Since he ordered 1,000 National Guard troops to the border in July, he's moved from the bottom of most polls closer to the top, last week tying Jeb Bush in a Fox News poll. But Perry isn't the only Texan in this Fort Worth hotel ballroom tonight. Meet his dance partner, Senator Ted Cruz.
Well, welcome to Texas.
Cruz is also eyeing a 2016 run. SMU political science professor Cal Gilson says the two are doing a sort of square dance.
And join your hands and circle up big, serve it to the left.
Sometimes well away from each other, but in a choreographed dance to try to capture the attention of the Republican primary electorate.
And they're doing it in very different ways. As governor for the past 14 years, Perry has shown his competence as an executive leader. Ted Cruz has proven to be the Goliath, taking on Washington and defending the Constitution.
Perry, strangely enough, is trying a more intellectual policy road to the nomination, whereas Cruz is taking an emotional path.
Speaking to a riled-up crowd holding signs with his name, Cruz said it's time to make D.C. listen.
As Reagan said, if you can't make them see the light, make them feel the heat.
Former Senator Jim DeMint, who now runs the Heritage Foundation, says the two politicians share core conservative ideas, but have different styles. And right now, he sees them gliding across the country together in a friendly waltz.
They'll certainly be waltzing around each other for a while, but they both come end up in the top two or three. Then I think it'll probably be more of a, maybe we'd just say a jitterbug type thing.
The fast-paced acrobatic dance could start soon. Both Cruz and Perry head to Iowa this weekend. Lauren Silverman, KERA News.
Partly cloudy skies tonight, a 20% chance rain with a low around 78. Tomorrow should be sunny with a high near 100. It's 100 degrees in Dallas and Fort Worth. You can like KERA News on Facebook or follow us on Twitter. From the KERA Newsroom, I'm Justin Martin.